Lord God, Christmas is so many things to so many people. Let your spirit be here in our heads and in our hearts, that Christmas might be what you would have it be in us. Deeper and greater, wilder, crazier, and more beautiful than all the other versions of Christmas that there ever were. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here now. Amen. So I love protest songs. My dad was a hippie, and he actually had long hair and played the guitar. And I grew up in the 70s, and Dad used to always be playing songs and singing in a kind of a longing voice in the lounge room. It was beautiful. And so I'd like to just go through some of my dad's revolution protest songs with you. And I'm hoping that you might sing some with me and see what you might notice. So Dad used to sing this. Would you?
Imagine no possessions.
Come on, you know it.
I wonder if you can.
John Lennon, 1971.
No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man.
Do you want to keep going or you're done? Let's keep going.
Imagine all the people.
Oh, yeah.
Sharing all the world. You.
And that was perfectly out of tune, just like John Lennon. John Lennon, 1971, the Beatles. And all the Christians of the day said, oh, the Beatles, that's evil. And it's quite likely they were, I mean. But look at the words and ask yourself what in there isn't parallel to what Jesus was calling for. No need for greed, no hunger. People recognising each other made in the image of God, a brotherhood of humanity. I mean, you may not like this song, and fair enough, but there's something in protest songs and in revolution songs. The human heart longs for something, and we still know it exists. But it also says, imagine no religion. And isn't that exactly what the Bible describes that heaven is like? It's a place of no religion at all. There's no temples, there's no churches, because God's all in all. You don't need religion when God is present with you fully. My dad used to sing that one. He used to sing this one too. Bob Dylan, 1962, also the Seekers, Peter, Paul and Mary. Do you remember this?
How many roads must a man walk down? Come on. Before you call him a man. And how many times must the cannonballs fly before they are forever banned?
Mum and Dad used to sing this next bit so wistfully.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
So, human beings, we sing. We sing about our desires, our wants and our needs. And so I always find it interesting to just get on to the radio or Spotify and just have a listen to what it is that people are singing about, because it shows what we desire. And some of these songs, they're from a bygone era, aren't they? But they were seeking a better world and they weren't ashamed to fight for it. Then, of course, there's this one. Come on. You know this one. Also from 1970. You know this one? War!
Absolutely.
Lovely. Okay. These songs, Bob Dylan, by the way, he wrote Blowing in the Wind against a war. Edwin Starr, same time, wrote it against the war. Bob Dylan became a Christian shortly after his big hits. And then the record company stopped publishing his music, by the way, because they didn't like him singing about Jesus. True story. You can go and look it up. But protest songs get to the problem in the world and what we want to see. And you know this one, right? I can never remember if that's Fast Car or Talking About a Revolution. Tracy Chapman, 1988. I was in high school for this. Can you sing this just briefly with me?
Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper.
Do you like that song?
Yes.
I love that bit where she goes,
finally the tables are starting to turn.
It's okay. I mean, this is actually in what we call the Judeo-Christian tradition, by the way. Tracy Chapman is drawing from the deep roots of the Bible in this song, which I won't get into because that's another sermon altogether. But also many worship songs use the exact same chords, thanks to Hillsong. Human beings deeply desire change in the world. We know that there's better. We know what we were made for. We know deep underlying the universe, there's a longing for what the Old Testament calls shalom, which is connectedness, peace. And here's a revolution song and a protest song. It's truly a protest song. This comes from the 1770s when Captain Cook was sailing up the coast of Queensland. This was being sung in defiance as a protest song. You know it? Come on. Yankee Doodle went to town a-riding on a pony, stuck a feather in his hat and called it macaroni. Do you know why this was a protest song? This was a song of defiance. Sometimes when we can't fight, we can sing. The story for this song is that the British soldiers were fighting the Americans. The Americans wanted independence, which is why one of the reasons Captain Cook was sailing up the coast here, because the Americans had started a war to become independent from the British. And so the Brits needed new places to put people because they couldn't put them in America anymore. And so they were fighting for independence. And the Brits started teasing them, going, "Yankee Doodle went to town." The British soldiers teased the Americans, called them Yankees. The Yankees, the Americans, picked up the song and their weapons and sang it right back at their oppressors. And it actually became one of the anthems of the revolution, as if to say, "We're going to use your oppression against you." There's something really biblical about that. The Bible is full of revolution and protest songs. That comes from the first 80% of the Bible, which is called what? The Old Testament. It's 80% of the Bible, by the way. It sounds very Australian, actually. If you look into the Old Testament, you'll find it's a bunch of people who started as slaves, much like convicts, and they really fought for identity and for freedom. So it's no surprise that a lot of Australian songs, Australians have a history of singing about revolution. Who loves this one? Come on. How do we dance when our earth is turning? How do we sleep while our beds are burning? One more time. How can we dance when our earth is turning? How do we sleep while our beds are burning? Now, Australians have a history right from convict days of singing songs that say, you know what, to the bosses. We should really get into the protest song. Well, it's not so much a protest song, the revolution song that I'm going to share with you in a moment. But I can't speak of revolution music without doing one very important thing. Because many of us in the room use a label, Lutheran. Now, I don't really care if you use that label or not. What matters is to follow Jesus, to know God in Jesus Christ. I don't really care about the label. But if you call yourself a Lutheran, you should know that Martin Luther is described as the father of protest songs. And he wrote many protest songs and protest pamphlets, and this is one of his protest songs. Would you sing it with me? Notice the defiance in these words. Let's sing defiance.
The devil's all the world should fill, all eager to devour us. We tremble not, we fear no will, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still, selfless as he will,
some Salvation Army friends in the room, and you guys still get it, the revolutionary nature of song. Martin Luther is often described as the first Protestant because he protested against an evil regime that would say you have to buy God's love. He protested. And so if you've ever wondered what Protestant comes from, comes from Luther, the father of protest songs. 500 years ago that occurred, by the way. That's why our church is so old. We're the oldest Protestant church, the oldest protesters. So Lutherans should be really comfortable with the next song that I'm going to sing. Because the next song is the protest song, not the protest song, the revolution song written for the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus is announced to a teenage girl named Mary. And Mary's response is amazing. She says, "Let it happen as you have said." And then she sings a song. It's a song that is revolutionary. It's, I think, one of the most sung songs of all time. Because, quite frankly, Catholics and Anglicans sing it all the time everywhere, and they're all over the world. The song is called the Magnificat in Latin. It means glorify. And this is also, did you know, this song from the Bible about the birth of Jesus is one of the most banned songs of all time. You can say, we sung a banned song in church. This is the song of Mary, written and performed by a teenage girl. So next time you think we shouldn't listen to teenage girls, well, you know, Taylor Swift started that way, and look at her. Mary started that way, and she's gone a lot further than Taylor Swift, no offence. But this song is so radical. It's been banned many times. In the 1930s, in Nazi Germany, a Lutheran pastor by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer he opposed Hitler, and they imprisoned him and killed him. But before that, he spoke about his love for Mary's song. And he wrote, "The Song of Mary is the oldest Christmas song. It is the most passionate, the wildest, the most revolutionary song of praise ever sung. This is not the gentle, tender, dreamy Mary who we sometimes see in paintings. This song has none of the sweet, nostalgic, or even playful tones of some of our Christmas carols. It is instead a hard, strong, inexorable song about the power of God and the powerlessness of humankind." Strong words. So do we dare sing the Song of Mary? Catholics sing it all the time. I couldn't find a version that was easy to sing, so my attempted gift to St. Luke's is to put it to music. And so we're going to sing the Song of Mary. I'm hoping that you'll pick it up. And I know that you can pick up the chorus. So we're just going to sing the song and just see how you go. Notice the words. Notice the revolution in them. Here we go.
Sing to the Lord with a humble heart. Rejoice in God, the one who saves. From this day on, all will call me blessed. This is what God has done. God has scattered the proud and thrown down their thrones, shown mercy to the weak. God has lifted the low and raised up the poor and strengthened those who fear.
Sing to the Lord.
Sing to the Lord with a humble heart. Rejoice in God, the one who saves. From this day on, all will call me blessed. This is what God has done. God has toppled the rich. Their empires fail and all the slaves arise. Now the hungry will feast and the greedy will fall. A baby leads the way.
You can sing this bit. Come on, let's hear ya.
Sing to the Lord with a humble heart. Rejoice in God, the one who saves. From this day on, all will call me blessed. This is what God has done.
God has come to our aid, the promise fulfilled to Israel and her young. For his mercy is sure forevermore, from now until the end.
Last time, let's hear.
Sing to the Lord with a humble heart. Rejoice in God, the one who saves. From this day on, all will call me blessed. This is
is what God has done.
Actually, I lied. Chorus one more time. Quiet one.
Sing to the Lord with a humble heart. Rejoice in God, the one who saves. From this day on, all will call me blessed. This is what God has done.
This is what God.
This is what God has done.
You sang that pretty well, considering that you've never heard it, and my wife's only sung it twice. So did you notice the words? I tried to be as faithful as I could to what Mary actually says in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. Tried to be faithful to her, and she says some radical things. It's a revolution song. She's just heard that she's going to give birth to the Saviour. And she starts with, I'm humble and I'm singing to God. That's why they call it Magnificat, magnify glory. But then she goes into this. God has scattered those who are proud. Too often religion is seen as something that is about being better than somebody else. And I'm proud, I'm a Lutheran, and we're right, and all the rest are wrong. Too often religion is seen that way. But here, it says God scatters the proud. If you think your religion makes you better, it's not a healthy one. We often like to think that those who achieve, or those who look good, or those who are smart, or those who build empires or make money, that it's good to be proud of that, but God scatters the proud. If you think your degree, or your money, or your grade makes you better than others, watch out for Mary, because she thinks God's going to scatter you. Next, God has brought down rulers from their thrones. See this line here? The Magnificat, this song, these lines were banned in South America, in Guatemala, in the 80s. Because the government didn't like the Catholics singing, God has scattered the proud and God has brought the rulers down from their thrones. Government didn't like ordinary people singing that the bosses will be brought down. But this is what Mary sings. It's a revolutionary song about the turning upside down of the world. It's much like midnight oil, beds are burning. God has lifted up the humble. What a great line. It's not about being better than others, but simply coming broken and honest, humble, and then you are loved by God. That's the message of Mary. In the 1800s, the British East India Company banned the singing of this song. They banned words from the Bible. They banned the Magnificat in Evensong. A missionary, Henry Martin, sailed to Calcutta in 1805, and the British East India Company was a really clever, it was a monopoly, it was a billionaire empire where the British had taken over India and had a monopoly on all, you know, spices and tea and all sorts of nice things, and that enslaved the Indians. And so Christian missionaries, British missionaries, go to India to tell people about Jesus, and they ban them. They ban them from singing, and they would have been singing like, God has lifted up the humble. God has brought the rulers down from their thrones. Pretty innocuous, really. But it was banned. Can you see why? Because this song is revolutionary. God has filled the hungry with good things. God has rearranged everything. When I read the Song of Mary, the first ever Christmas song, I think to myself, how can any follower of Jesus or any follower of Mary not have concern for those who are hungry? The original Christmas, which Karina will be talking about next Sunday, was feeding the hungry. And then God has sent the rich away empty. I love this line whenever I'm watching a tele-evangelist. If you wake up early in the morning and turn on free-to-air telly, you'll see those guys in suits and they'll tell you, give to God, follow Jesus and you'll be rich. Oh, really? Have they read the sermons of Jesus? Have they read what his mother Mary said? Because here it says, God raises up the poor, God sends the rich away empty. And there is something very true about when our money owns us, when our riches own us, and when our Christmas becomes about us, we are no longer following the tradition of Jesus and Mary. But do you think that Mary was just an ancient Bob Dylan singing revolution songs? By the way, gutsy words for a questionably pregnant teenager in a misogynist society ruled by an evil empire called the Roman Empire. This is pretty bold stuff she wrote. But there's something very, very different. This is no normal revolution song. On the surface, we have the same kinds of things that you might hear the Beatles or Edwin Starr sing. on the surface, we see the world order getting flipped upside down. The same kind of themes is let the rich fall, let the power mongers, let the warmongers be brought down, let the poor rise, let the hungry be fed. Same kind of themes on the surface. But there is a radical difference between Mary's song and all the other revolution songs. I'm going to give you 10 seconds to see if you could tell someone or guess what it might be. And then I'll tell you what I think it is. Ready? Go. What's the difference between Mary's song and all the other revolution and protest songs? Okay, don't feel ashamed if your answer's different to mine. This song is different to all those other protest and revolution songs about changing the world because this song does not ask for change. It doesn't say, let the poor rise up. It doesn't say, let the hungry be fed. What does it say instead? Have. 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 Over and over. It says, have been fed or has, depending on your version. God has scattered the proud. God has brought down the rulers. God has lifted up the poor, lifted up the humble. God has filled the hungry. This is different to all those other songs because this song does not ask for something. This song declares a revolution. It declares a new reality. It says something has happened. Something has changed. What has changed? The richest one in the universe, the one with the most right to be proud in the universe, the one with all of the glory has come down to the bottom. God, the ruler of the universe, the rich, has emptied himself and become poor. And that's a change. God hasn't chosen to dominate and control and play the same game as everybody else, but God has chosen to come down and to serve and love, and that's the opposite. And so Mary's song doesn't say, oh, let's change the world. It declares a change has already occurred, a new reality is present. Mary's song declares to us a revolution, and that revolution is Jesus. Now, many people have mistaken the words of Mary and the words of Jesus for a political manifesto. I think they have political ramifications, and you can't avoid that. But Mary's not declaring a future revolution like Karl Marx did. Mary's saying something's changed, and it's something that changes locally and small and in hearts and lives. And Mary is saying there's a revolution that happens in ordinary people and in ordinary hearts, and it changes everything. Because in this revolution, power is not the big thing. Dominance is not the big thing. Control is not the big thing. Winning is not the big thing. In this revolution, God is a servant, and love is the reason for existence, and God has come to me. And so Mary is declaring the start of a revolution, but hear me clearly, people. This revolution starts in your heart, and then it moves out from there. So this is what I want to say to you. The revolution already happened. And it's growing, and it's unstoppable, and its name is Jesus. Amen.